Welcome to the Indie Movie Cast, the podcast for indie movie makers by indie movie makers. I'm Alex, and I'm here with
Jay
and
Dominic.
And we have a special guest host, and his name is
Brandon, also known as BSJ.
Hi, BSJ. So BSJ is with us. He is a he's not part of Ultimatum Pictures.
No, we kicked him out.
Yeah, we kicked him out. The three of us are part of Ultimatum Pictures. We're movie makers. You can see our movies at ultimatumpictures.com. But BSJ is a local indie movie maker in Albuquerque. We said before that there is a pretty large community of indie movie makers here in town, and BSJ has been doing it for a long time, maybe even longer than us, because he's much older than us, right, BSJ?
Yeah.
You're like soaring up there in your 30s, right? Your early 30s?
Yes, Jay.
Wow.
I am.
Wow.
Yeah, so let's talk about a little bit about what you do, BSJ. We brought you on this week especially because we're talking about Princess and the Frog later. It's part of the Think How I Think movie review, and you are huge into Disney 2D animation.
Well, all any and all traditional hand drawn animation, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. So and you do animation yourself.
I do.
Like in your
He's
house,
dabbled.
As indie as possible, right?
I've done a couple of mainstream things, but yes.
Yeah, and so that's why we brought you on. I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
You've done some mainstream stuff. Like, is anything you could talk about there or no?
Well, one was a pilot for Adult Swim a while back, and
cool.
I recently did all of the hand-drawn animation for a movie called Thunder Geniuses, but it's still in production. I'm not sure when it's going to be coming out.
And when you talk about hand-drawn animation, I mean, you're talking about you get on pencil and paper and you draw this stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
And are you doing the tweening, I guess is what it's called, which is like the frames in between like the master frames, or how does that
work?
Yeah,
the breakdowns and in-betweens, yes. For all projects that I've done, yes, I've done most of the in-betweenings. For when I did a couple of projects, I've not been done the breakdowns and in-betweens. I've only done the key drawings. But for the most part, yes, I draw every single frame.
Wow.
Cool beans.
Yeah, and so you did one, you made an animated short called Orange Barrels from the Phobosphere.
Yes, I did.
And you recently turned that into a live action little pilot for TV, right?
Correct. Well, I mean, it's indie, it's not for TV yet because I haven't gotten it sold, but yes, it's assumed to be a pilot, yes, for TV.
Okay, and you just put that online today, I noticed.
I did.
So congrats.
You can find that at Jensen at YouTube or what?
Well, no, you go to youtube.com/user/BrandonSC.
So what exactly is the Phobosphere?
A region of pure dread. I don't have a real answer to that. That's the answer that was presented in the animated short, A Region of Pure Dread. Can't tell you what the Phobosphere is because I didn't create the Phobosphere.
And is there,
we're
is
not
there,
there yet as far as like the story.
Yeah,
arc. We don't know what that is.
Exactly.
Is there anywhere where you can see the original animated one online or anything?
No,
like
I haven't put the original animated version online because I still put it in film festivals, and film festivals won't let you play it if it's played online. So
still putting in film festivals. Isn't that like 8 years old?
Five. So let's talk about animation. Jay, Dom, have you guys ever tried doing animation before?
Well, I did once, but I cheated.
What do you mean?
Well, I actually worked with a project with BSJ there, a little movie project called Sitting on the Grass, which you can actually find at our Ultimatum Old Movies page, from Ultimatum Pictures. And basically, it's kind of a odd ball story, but the way I animated is we actually shot live characters, but then I ran each frame of footage through Photoshop and gave it more of a cartoony kind of look.
Kind of like
a version of rotoscoping.
Yeah, a different version of rotoscoping, a quicker, easier way. Yeah.
Well, what's rotoscoping? I mean, that's what Scanner Darkly does,
right? Well, basically rotoscoping is when you shoot live footage, and then you have animators come in and kind of draw over it, or you know,
tracing,
trace over it, and color over the. It gives it more of a.
Oh, so you didn't trace it? You just gave it an. You just put an effect in.
Basically, I mean, you could say rotoscoping, but yeah, I mean, I did it to every single frame, so.
I
didn't put a filter on. I actually, you know, when I actually automated every single frame of that movie through Photoshop to give it a certain look, more of a cartoony look, like I said. But
yeah, and I a couple of years ago, I made a little cartoon for Adult Swim, a contest for Adult Swim. And the way I did it is I tried to be lazy too. So I would draw a frame of the animation basically, but I wouldn't give it a mouth.
Right.
I would just have a drawing and I would change the mouth so it would talk, and I would change the eyes and little movements here and there, and I made a little cartoon for that. But yeah, the I think the thing about animation is it's just tedious, man. You just have to.
It takes
a lot of work.
Yeah, it's something that really. I mean, you could do it with stick figures. You could do it even if you can't draw. But it's just a matter of having the patience to go through each frame. And
BSJ doesn't do all that much anyway, so he has all the time in the world.
Is that right?
BSJ.
JK.
Well, just because you don't have a job doesn't mean he has anything to do. He has cats, right?
You got a cat, right?
I do have a cat, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they can keep you busy. I have a cat.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I also have other people that do help me with a lot of the animation. Even if you look at the credits of Orange Barrels, you see I didn't color all of it.
You sent it to Taiwan?
Yeah, I sent it to Taiwan. No, I have family members that help me. Actually, yeah. Well, she's not six. She's 11. My 11-year-old niece helped me color the animated sequence in Orange Barrels.
You're getting the kids involved, teaching them about the filmmaking process.
Exactly.
That's good.
It's cool. So let's talk a little bit about 3D animation. BSJ, you hate 3D animation, right?
With passion.
Or anything done on computer.
Why? No. Why? What do you think is non-authentic about 3D animation?
It's not that I don't think it's authentic. I just don't like it called animation because, to me, 3D graphics is more like advanced puppetry than animation, because like in puppetry, you build a puppet in the computer as opposed to, you know, with fabric and buttons or whatever, and you move it the same way you would a puppet. I mean, it's very pretty puppetry.
Wait, but animation is animating inanimate objects. I mean, if I got a paperclip and I did a little stop motion animation, isn't that technically animation?
Absolutely. But
3D is puppetry?
Right, because you're not making anything. You're not animating an inanimate object. It's in a computer. It's not an object. It's an image. It's just image manipulation.
The computer's doing the tweening for you, though. It's kind of doing the in-between frames.
That's another reason why I don't like
it. That's what I was about to ask. I mean, do you think it's just kind of cheating because, like, sometimes when you're doing a computer, you could just skip a step. You could just say, oh, I want this character to go from this pose to this pose within 3 seconds, but I don't need to fill in each one of the frames because the computer will do it for you.
Absolutely. Because
what is your definition of animation then? I mean, if you think so, stop motion is animation, but computer animation isn't animation.
Right.
Well, why?
Well, it's just like Dominic said, it's because it has a lot to do with the cheating of the in-betweens. Because
couldn't you cheating animation or something like that? I mean, it's still
fair animation.
I just call it advanced puppetry. That's just my term for it.
What if you had a puppet and you were animating them stop motion, like if you had Kermit walking down the street?
Well, that's still advanced puppetry.
Is that advanced puppetry or is that animation?
Because you're still that's animation because you're doing it frame by frame by frame.
Exactly.
Whereas the computer cuts out frames, like the computer will just fill in the frames.
Exactly. I mean, if you're just like if you're doing a silly little stop motion with a paperclip, a human being is still moving each individual frame of that paperclip. Whereas in computer animation, yeah, a human being may put the poses for key poses, but the computer's still filling in the rest. And a lot of people are like, well, that just makes it easier. And okay, I can see that way of thinking, but you know, you take a movie like The Princess and the Frog or any of the other classic Disney movies, and like they actually tried to do some digital in-betweening. They did some experiments in the mid-90s where they did drawings, they did key drawings, and then they had vector-based programs try to fill in the in-betweens. There's a couple of moments in like Hunchback of Notre Dame, for example, where it's really obvious that they were trying to use this program. And
Okay. But what's the big deal? What's the big deal of not animating certain movements and just having a computer do it for you?
It loses heart. It loses its humanity.
No.
It loses its humanity? I mean, yep. Humans still designed the program. Humans still made it.
But a human isn't making the movements. It's being generated by a computer.
Human's not making each.
All right, so I have a question for you. What about motion capture? Motion capture is when they stick balls onto an actor and they have and they animate it like that. That has a total human element, wouldn't you say? Because a human is controlling it.
Sure, but
is that animation to you?
There we enter a gray area because that's just like rotoscoping.
I don't really buy your vocabulary here. I mean, that's I think fine. 3D animation is still animation. It's still animated objects. But so you don't like any 3D animation? Like you shut that out as a genre? Like I kind of do to westerns.
not completely. Up until about 2006, I was giving a lot of movies a lot of chances, but right about 2006, there just became this like overabundance of 3D animation. I mean, I enjoyed Shrek.
Well, I could agree that there was an overabundance of 3D animation. Sure.
I liked let's see, Shrek. I liked Monsters Inc. I did like Finding Nemo.
Okay. Well, I mean,
but that's about it.
But okay. Well, I guess we'll talk about this more. When sure. we get to the Princess and the Frog review, because I do think it's good that Disney is trying to do another 2D animated movie, because there is some truth in what you're saying. There's a different feeling watching a 2D animated movie than a 3D. 3D.
It's a classic medium.
Well, and 3D is kind of like you're watching a video game movie, sort of.
That's just a different medium. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give that.
Whereas 2D kind of has like a, I don't know, maybe it's just because I grew up with it, you know, and because there was a big 2D animation trend when we were growing up in the 80s. You know, so when I watched Princess and the Frog, you know, I felt a little fuzzy inside, which I don't really feel with, you know, Kung Fu.
Right. Well, you know, kids growing up now who are, you know, so conditioned to this computer animation, this 3D animation, you know, I mean, what's going to happen when they're adults and then maybe a new trend, you know, takes hold. And they go, oh, you know, these movies aren't like those 3D movies I used to watch.
But what I like about 3D is the indie factor. I mean, you could sit there if you have time and you can make Toy Story by yourself if you know how. And these programs are available, you know, and people have done it. It's like that movie, that really terrible one that looks like Avatar, Delgo or whatever.
Right. That was a very indie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like so.
That still cost $6 million or something like that.
It did. Yes.
Wow.
But that's something like even Robert Rodriguez has, like, he does his own CGI in his like garage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just great what's possible, and I appreciate both kinds of animation if it's good. I mean, it just has to be good.
It's all about the story when you dumb it down, right?
Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to.
Anything else there in the indie world? There, I know,
Dominic's working on something in the indie world, and we're helping him out.
Yeah, Dominic's making a little movie. We froze our asses off all weekend long.
Which I appreciate. Thank you very much for helping.
Yeah. So this is a really indie little movie. It's basically me, Jay, Dominic. Michelle Laredo, who is our actress in Cannibalus, which you can check out on our site, and their little writer / sound guy. So we've been indieing it up all kinds, which is kind of fun, but at the same time, it's a little hard. I mean, we're shooting this little movie. What's it called, Dominic?
It's called A City with No People.
Yes.
And actually, like, the writer, I mean, he's, I think, 19 or 20, you
Yeah.
know? So
Everett, yeah,
he's
he's
really
19.
young.
Yeah,
How old is he?
19.
Yeah,
Nineteen.
he's just a kid. It's his first movie, and you know, and he befriended Michelle, who got us to basically shoot it for him.
Luckiest 19-year-old ever.
Yeah. So he's gonna get a good looking little movie, I think. I think
Yeah.
we're doing pretty good. But
Gonna
I
be
like
pretty
doing
slick.
this reminds me of the movies we used to make like a few years ago, back when we
Yeah,
were
it's
a few years
true
ago,
because
but
this is.
we didn't have mentors like ourselves.
Well, I know, but I kind of like being a mentor for this kid,
No, I know, it's
and I
fun.
and I
It's fun.
and but remember the back in the days when we used to just the three of us would make movies on our PD-150 and play them on public
Oh, all the
access.
time. I mean,
Exactly,
and
that's
you
what
know,
it
for our
feels like.
TV show, we had a TV show back in the day that used
Yeah,
public
back in the
access and
in
made
03, 04,
all kinds of goofy stuff. Yeah.
we were big on the public access scene in Albuquerque, and but yeah, so we've been having fun doing that, and then Ultimatum's doing a door post entry, door post or thedoorpost.com. You can check out the door post movie contest. We talked about it before, but we have until February 1st to make a 7-minute movie to win a lot in cash and prizes, and we're gonna go for that. But I've been drawing a blank as far as story goes. I don't know what.
The doorpost is interesting because, you know, they're like, I think we mentioned this, you know, previous episode, that they're a little more super serial
Yeah, they're a little more they're a little the super
than
serial
most
is right.
things. Yeah.
Is yeah, they like serious movies. Well, I mean, they had some comedies in there last year, but none of them
Yeah,
more.
but the comedies were all junk, man.
But the thing about Doorpost is it goes to votes. Once they do the initial judging, it's a big voting contest.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah,
Aren't they also
and
supposed to be all uplifting and stuff?
Yeah,
yeah,
they want
that's the
uplift.
whole point of it. Yeah,
Yeah, they want uplifting movies. So that's a little
very
why I'm struggling
spiritual
because I'm more sarcastic
and destructive.
and destructive. No, yeah, a little. So a
Yeah,
little.
those are really sappy. They just want sap. They want that.
It's tough, you know. I mean, you got to play by the rules sometimes.
Yeah, but I gotta have a script done by I don't know. I don't know about the next show, but by next week sometime, I want to at least get a good
Yeah.
start on it. So I'll report on that as we go along. But I think this is done with our this is it for our first segment. We're gonna go on to
What a fun segment.
Schmollywood. Yeah, we're gonna. It was nice. We're gonna go on to Schmollywood. BSJ's joining us. We're gonna talk about all the goodies happening over in Hollywood. All right. See you there. Schmollywood. Okay, it's Schmollywood time. Let's get into it. Golden Globe nominations 2010. Did you guys check
Oh,
this out?
goody.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Yep.
so the funny
For the
thing about
most.
Golden Globe is it come yeah, is none of these movies are even out yet, pretty much.
I know. We're just like,
I
oh,
noticed
what's
that.
that? That's cool. Avatar's up there. All right. Guess I
Yeah.
didn't see that.
Yeah, so for Best Motion Picture, we got Avatar, which isn't out yet. We have The Hurt Locker, which I hear is excellent.
Really good.
Anybody see that?
No, I
Nope.
really want to see it.
Oh,
Yeah,
I have not seen it, no.
we gotta watch that. Inglourious Basterds, which is pretty good in my opinion, you guys.
That's a good
I
one.
like that.
You see that one, BSJ?
Nope, don't watch Quentin Tarantino movies.
Uh-oh, what happened there? What happened
I
there?
know.
Kill
There's a
Bill
story
has
behind this.
2D animation in it, dude.
I loved Kill Bill, but that's the only movie
Well,
of
then
his I've ever watched.
you obviously watch Quentin Tarantino movies if you watch Kill Bill.
I don't watch them anymore, excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Since Kill Bill, so you haven't seen Inglourious Basterds, fair enough. Okay, and then Precious was nominated, which was pretty good. I saw
That's
that.
decent. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's good. That's a
Yeah.
good one.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
mean
that's a good.
that's pretty. That movie, you know, it's kind of hard to watch, but it's undeniably good. I mean, it's really well done. And then
Yes.
Up in the Air, which isn't out yet.
Of course.
Yay, another one we have to watch.
Yeah, but you know, Indie Movie Cast will give you reviews for all those movies when they come out. And then, as the Golden Globes always does it, they give a Best Motion Picture to a musical or comedy. And this year they have 500 Days of Summer, which I thought was great. Did you guys see that?
I didn't get to see it.
Everybody tells me I should see it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. The Hangover, which I love.
I like that
It's
one. That
pretty
one's
good,
good.
yeah.
That was good.
Yeah,
Trying to grow out my hair like one of the main characters there.
Oh, that's, you are, huh? Weird. Not like how's that going, your hair?
It's hard. It's really hard to do.
So you're growing your hair like the main character of The Hangover.
Yeah, people make fun of me.
Which character is that?
The good-looking one.
Sorry. Okay, what's and then name? And so the next movie is It's Complicated. What's that?
Oh, I've heard of this. What is that?
I have no idea.
All right, well, we should look into that. Julie and Julia, which I
you saw that.
Yeah, I like Julie and Julia. I thought that was pretty funny. Except for I liked Julia Child, but I hated Julie, that character. She was really And then Nine, not the animated Nine, the Nine that's not out yet.
Music. The one with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. How did two movies called Nine come out in the same year? How is that possible?
I don't know. It's like two movies named Capote or something like that came out one year.
Well, no. They were the same movie, but I don't think they were called the same name.
Yeah, this is the same
name. Same character, okay.
It might be because one is the number nine, and this is the word nine.
Oh, I mean, I noticed that. That's definitely how the union, whatever, let him get away with that. But, it's so strange. Jesus. Well, all right, well, whatever. And I don't really give much of a flip about award shows anyway. They're usually pretty lame.
Yeah, we usually like to get our awards with whatever festivals we submit to and then ignore the award shows for like.
Well, I'm talking about the Golden Globes and the Oscars. They're all pretty, they're just like popularity contests.
Come on, guys, we always get together every Oscar.
Yeah, we do.
No, the Oscars are awesome.
Well, we do watch the Oscars. We don't. I don't watch the Golden Globes. I do not
watch that either.
That's the one. I used to.
Yeah,
instead of sitting in a stage, they're sitting at dinner tables. I remember that. The Golden Globes. Awkward. Yeah, but the thing about Golden Globes is your first taste of what's going to be nominated for Oscars. I mean, there's nothing that's nominated for an Oscar that's not nominated for a Golden Globe, right?
Right.
Usually, so we could pretty much say that. So you know, what what do you think the best picture of the year is going to be? I guess we don't know until we see these movies. But do you think Inglourious has a shot or?
It should, I guess.
I've heard so many good things about The Hurt Locker. I'm really curious to see if that'll be.
Well, The Hurt Locker is an indie film.
Exactly. Which is really cool.
Yeah, we love indie films here. So is Precious. Precious is an indie film that caught Oprah's eye, which
So there's two in
their
top five.
Not so indie anymore.
No, not so indie anymore, but so there's some indie movies out there. Looks like a pretty good year. There's been some good movies this year. Watchmen got snubbed, right?
Whatever.
What? Made its money, though, right?
What did you think it would be nominated for?
I thought
for
it'd
best superhero costume,
best super musical comedy superhero drama.
Yeah.
Let's move on. So that's the Golden Globes. Pretty boring stuff there, obviously. But there is some crazy news coming out of Schmollywood concerning The Hobbit.
I've heard of this one. And after our review last week?
Yeah, so in our review of Brothers last week, I kind of went off on Tobey Maguire. You know, I didn't really think he did too well there. He's nominated for a Golden Globe, which is typical.
In Brothers, yeah.
Yeah, for Brothers.
Screaming your head off helps.
Yeah, if you scream your head off and you drool, then, you know, that's great work.
Yep, that's because I don't run the Golden Globes. So, but anyway, Tobey Maguire is rumored to be cast as Bilbo Baggins in the upcoming Hobbit movie.
What up with that? Yeah, not true. I hope this is not true.
Well, I mean, according to Ain't It Cool, and you can check these in the show notes, it says it's a reliable source. He's not signed on for anything.
He's in discussion.
Well, at early stages of talks,
Which pretty
well,
means
maybe
it's
not really
not
Bilbo.
Close.
Maybe everybody's just jumping to the conclusion that it's Bilbo. Maybe it's a Took or a Proud Hood.
No, it says as Bilbo Baggins, but that's kind of my issue. Even if they don't cast Toby, the fact that they're considering Toby rubs me the wrong way. I mean, if you've seen Lord of the Rings, which you all have, I'm sure, you see a clip of The Hobbit, sort of, where Bilbo finds the ring and. That's kind of what Bilbo should look like. He should look like Ian Holm, right?
Ian Holm, right. I know. Yeah. And with today's technology, we can make it happen. Or they could.
What, cast Ian Holm and make him look younger?
Yeah, man. It's Weta Digital. They just did Avatar. Come on.
Well,
Well, I mean, and even if they do recast them, why are they recasting them with somebody horrible like Tobey Maguire? I mean, what?
No idea. Well, even, I mean, I was never happy that Guillermo del Toro became the director of The Hobbit anyways.
Dude, I thought you were saying he was your homeboy, Dom.
Yeah, you know, I've met him, and he's a really nice guy, but, the fact that, he's just an overrated director, I think. I don't think he's made anything that great.
I don't know if he's an overrated director. I think so.
The Labyrinth? What? That was boring.
No, Pan's Labyrinth. Yeah,
Pan's Labyrinth was not.
I thought Pan's Labyrinth did have a lot of issues story wise, but as far as direction, it was visually awesome.
Yeah.
But is that him or is that whoever he hired to be his art
production designer?
Well, I think a lot of it's him. You've seen Hellboy 2, right? It's crazy. These movies are.
Is it the same production designer?
What, you're giving the production designer credit for a movie?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they do, is the art part of it.
Well, I think...
But it wasn't...
I mean, the director has final say. You've worked on movies, you know that.
Well, I know, though. I just don't know how much
he's involved. I think you're giving Guillermo way too little credit. But not to say that I'm crazy about that decision either. I mean, I'm not really crazy about the Hobbit movie in general.
I would rather... I remember this discussion. It was like... Sam Raimi was up for possibly doing.
I'd rather have Guillermo than Sam Raimi.
That's what I'm saying. I'd rather have Guillermo do it.
Dominic, you?
Yeah, for definitely.
Okay, we're agreed on that then.
Yeah, for sure. Sam Raimi.
There's always a lesser evil.
Exactly.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Even if Tobey Maguire is cast as Bilbo, at least
Be good. Peter Jackson's gonna be there. They're gonna throw him a couple of scenes to direct. It'll be okay.
And I know, I just feel a little bit more safe that Peter Jackson is there, because, definitely.
Peter Jackson's there, Weta's there, it's all good.
The thing I'm concerned about is that Bilbo doesn't really scream much. He's...
Right, yeah.
Or uncontrollably drooling over himself.
And he's going to climb the trees, and the orcs are going to come and be like, "What funny little birds, they have no wings. What do we do?" How about that for 2D animation, DSJ, The Hobbit? You like that cartoon?
No, I'm not a huge Rankin Bass fan.
You are so. What does it take to be on BSJ's
good animation? Wow, I know.
You don't even like The Hobbit?
No, it's I don't hate it. I just don't.
The greatest
care for it that
adventure.
That Don't get me started on Rankin Bass, please.
Let's get you started on Rankin
Bass.
Let's
do it right now. Go.
Yeah, what do you want to say about him?
Nothing good.
Okay, good.
Can Leonard Nimoy sing the Bilbo song for the new
for
movie?
The new movie? Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, only 3 feet tall.
That would be awesome.
Great. Yep. Well, anyway, so...
With his Spock hairdo.
So I guess my point is The Hobbit's not going to be good. Sorry.
It might be.
You had your hopes up. It's not going to be good. Just letting you know.
I still have hope.
Here's an Aleko prediction. I say it's not going to be good.
I think you're wrong. I think you'll be surprised.
What do you think?
And I think that, I think this Tobey Maguire, it's going to pass over. I don't think it's true. I've worked for producers and directors, and there's so many people that are considered for roles.
Yeah.
The fact that whoever this person is decided to put it out there to people was completely, of course, from my point of view, just not professional. But, it's just like there's so many people that get considered for stuff, and it falls through the cracks all the time. If I said, everybody that was considered for different roles, it would be like, really?
Yeah, look at Batman. How many people were considered for Batman before they settled on?
I was considered once.
Yeah, you were, weren't you?
Who would you cast as Bilbo, Dominic?
Ugh, I couldn't even think off the top of my head.
Jay?
Oh, I don't know. I'd wait a couple of years till Elijah Wood felt perfect for it.
Yes, Jay. Who do you like as Bilbo, actor-wise?
No idea.
Could they pick somebody a little bit older? I mean, even the Lord of the Rings movies, as much as I love them, is just that, the characters are being played by, the hobbits, they're supposed to be in their, 30s or 40s in the books.
Dude, it would be the perfect Bilbo? Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman. Oh, God.
Actually, that would be pretty awesome.
All right, there you go. All right, so let's move on. I wanted to talk about reactions to a trailer that came out today. Ridley Scott's Robin Hood. The trailer came out earlier today.
That it did.
Thoughts, JT, what do you think?
Not impressed.
Not impressed.
It looks like every other period piece movie, and there's no niche.
It looked like
Braveheart. There's nothing that makes it stand apart between any other trailer in that time frame. I don't know. I'm not impressed.
Dominic?
Thumbs down. You know, when we go to see movies, sometimes we all sit together and just, like, go thumbs up or thumbs down to, like, trailers. That one was, like, horrible.
It was just a teaser, though, I know, but...
It's not even interesting, though.
It looks action packed.
Gladiator 2? I mean, come on.
I don't know what's up with, like... I'm sorry, go on, Dominic.
Can we not do Robin Hood anymore? I've been done enough.
Yeah, really. BSJ, what do you think?
I somewhat disagree. I'm cautiously optimistic. I didn't love the trailer, but I apparently didn't hate it as much as these guys.
I don't know if I hated it either. I mean, it looks action packed. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I've seen this before. It's
when you compare it to like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. You know, the Kevin Costner,
right?
Martin Freeman, right? You know,
I think it'll be better than eyes. That. I think it'll be a lot better than that.
But yeah.
I don't know. And there's this huge trend with like, oh, let's put in some heavy metal. And these period pieces like this and Clash of the Titans, you know, that trailer.
You know,
oh, yeah,
but they
trailer.
Always do that in the trailer and they never put it in the movie. And that kind of disappoints me. I wish there was more in actual movie.
What, heavy metal in the actual movie?
Well, it's yeah, like I what do. The 1500s needs is some more rock music.
I think
it's
it would be
perfect.
Yeah, like, but if you did that in, I don't know, I obviously no one thinks like I think, but I think that would be something different and could be potentially interesting because they always
that could be interesting if they set up the whole movie to be like that, like
right.
they wanted to make it very stylistic and everything.
Exactly.
This looks like, you know, okay, Gladiator in as Robin Hood.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what it.
And I agree with
Maximus as Robin Hood.
Yeah, and I agree with what one of you said earlier. Do we need another Robin Hood? I mean, really.
But yes, this generation needs one. I'm being sarcastic.
This generation needs one.
I'm being sarcastic.
Right.
They have Disney's Robin Hood.
It's kind of like Gladiator meets Braveheart, though. It's like anything that wasn't in Gladiator but was in Braveheart, it's like you combine those, and then, of course, Russell Crowe.
And then,
it does kind of look like that. That's what I didn't like.
It looks a lot like Kingdom of Heaven. Remember that
That's
one?
That's what I was about to say. It's like Gladiator, Kingdom of Heaven, now Robin Hood.
Was Kingdom of Heaven Ridley Scott?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeez. Oh, well, so that's our reaction. Boo.
Boo.
Meh.
Wildly optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously.
Yeah. Oh well. All right. Well, moving on. We're gonna come back with Think What I Think. We'll talk about Princess and the Frog and Invictus.
Yay.
Think.
How you think? How I think.
How? What about how I think?
No, you think how I think.
You think. Why do we want to care about how you think?
I want to think what BSJ thinks.
You thought think. How I saw think. Welcome to You Think How I Think. Today we're talking about Princess and the Frog and Invictus. Let's go into Invictus first.
Yep.
You didn't see this, right, BSJ?
Sorry, looked really boring. Didn't watch it.
All right, well, shut up.
Okay, well, you know what Invictus
will
is?
Do.
It's Clint Eastwood's latest. It's Morgan Freeman as Nelson Mandela,
yep.
As president of South Africa, talking about rugby.
Using rugby as a motivation for the country. As
Alex, what did you think about this?
Shining star.
Well, I think this movie was pretty good. I mean, for me, I'm not really into sports or government, but as far as a historical document, not a documentary, but a historical fiction based on real facts, it's or historical faction. I thought that it was really well done, and it kept me interested, even though I'm not interested in basically what the movie's about. But that's not how. But Clint Eastwood, he's real interesting. He makes things.
He good movies, you know.
Yeah, he does. He really doesn't make anything bad, and there was a lot to this movie. It was huge in scope, first of all. It was just stadiums full of people. You know, I mean,
I wonder how they got those shots. That can't be extras, can it?
It's computer generated people.
I don't know.
But it's looking
or they went to actual rugby games and just shot B-roll footage.
Or they brought in a crowd to a stadium. All of it's not unheard of. But yeah, you're right. It's difficult to tell what they did. But the movie's huge. The movie, what I really liked about it is it's a movie that's not in America. I mean, it takes place halfway across the world.
Right.
I mean, the film industry is dominated by Hollywood. It's dominated by Americans, so it's dominated by movies that take place in America. You rarely see things like this. What's going on in South Africa? What's going on in other parts of the world? And it was nice. It was humbling. I mean, there's a sport out there, rugby, that I don't even know the rules of.
Yeah, even watching the movie, I'm like, they kind of, you know, skim over the rules, but I'm like, I still don't see why that's necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. What about you guys? What are your thoughts, Jay?
I'm with you. I really enjoyed it. You know, it's just a solid, you know, piece of cinema.
Yeah, and Dom, you liked it too?
I did. You know, it definitely takes you, like you were saying, just out of the regular Hollywood kind of thing, and just takes you somewhere different. And I don't know. Just I'm a real big fan of Clint Eastwood. He's become such a great filmmaker, and he just every single time I think I'm just taken away somewhere different. And
yeah, and like you said, it's different than Hollywood movies, and not just in that it takes place somewhere else, but that there were little things about it, like if this was made by a different director, you know, I think it'd be real easy to throw a villain in there, throw like somebody, a racist person who doesn't want this team to succeed, and throw that in, or throw in some kind of element of danger.
It's just about characters.
I mean, there was a whole subplot with Nelson Mandela's bodyguards, his little secret service there.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And with that going on, I kept thinking that there was going to be like an assassination attempt or something. I mean, I'm not.
They kind of set it up for like that at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm kind of waiting for that, but it really wasn't. It was just, you know, understanding what the guards went through in this time. I mean, the whole point of the movie is bringing a country that's divided to a point of almost civil war, making it united using rugby, basically.
Yeah,
and right, using sports in a way.
Yeah, and it was really effective. Go ahead, Jay.
I was just gonna say the acting is pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well,
like, Morgan Freeman is astounding, and Matt Damon, it blows me away. I mean, it was just...
Yeah, well, they were good. But do you think that, like, I don't know, it seems like there's Morgan Freeman and there's Nelson Mandela, and it's one of those born-to-play situations.
Yeah, I mean...
Do you think Morgan Freeman called up Clint Eastwood and said, hey, I want to play Nelson Mandela in a movie?
Because I kind of look like him. I'm looking at a picture of him and me, and I think I'm growing into, like, the same age he was when he was
it just seems like, yeah, it's like Ben Kingsley as Gandhi. He was born to play that role.
I think I could have used a little bit more Matt Damon, because he was just, I mean, he was in there enough, but like I could have used a little bit more with him.
Oh, you're in love with Matt Damon.
No, but he did. It was kind of funny because this movie was interesting because he didn't look like himself, and he
looked like a rugby player.
Exactly, yeah, he was beefed up a little for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just looked different, and it was cool. It was very
looked different.
Yeah, they added makeup to his face. They made him look somewhat different physically. That it just took you away from the Matt Damon image.
Yeah.
Which they think they should do more with, like, these huge actors that just play themselves.
You know, and this movie was good, and I appreciated it. You know, but at the same time, I there were parts of it where I kind of just wanted to fast forward. I mean, there's a lot of showing random things in rugby, and then Morgan Freeman either cheers or he gets angry, and it's like watching Quidditch. Like, I don't know what's going on, and you know, you can't really follow along because it's a sport, you know, and you just kind of go along with whether the crowd's cheering or not, or whether they're stressed out, or you know, because I'm just sitting there kind of lost.
I mean, is that just because your lack of knowledge of rugby, possibly? Or
I don't know.
Because I kind of appreciated how, you know, rugby was just kind of played and it wasn't dumbed down. I mean, like I said, they kind of, you know, skimmed a little bit of the rules and stuff, but they didn't dwell on it. They just kind of played how it's played, and I just kind of appreciated the fact that it's like, you know, everybody knows how this game is played, and we're just
Well, yeah, I mean, showing the rules is like showing the rules of baseball before Fields of Dreams. I mean, it's not necessary for sure, and it's my dumb fault for not knowing how to play rugby, I guess. But it's not really an American sport either. Yeah, I mean, Americans definitely play it, but it's not big here. But yeah, so anyway, good movie. Let's move on. Let's go on to Princess and the Frog.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the reason we brought BSJ on, huh?
Yay.
So let's get into it. Yeah, this is Disney's big comeback. This is Disney kind of Disney, as you know, invented animated movies. They made the first one
No, they didn't.
Who made the first animated movie then, BSJ?
That would be Lotte Reiner with The Adventures of Prince Achmed in 1919.
The Adventures of Prince Achmed?
Achmed.
That was a feature-length movie?
Yes, sir. I own it on DVD.
Okay, well, what's Snow White? The first talkie?
No, first color with sound in America.
But they've been around for a while, since the 30s, doing this. And and they've had their ups and downs, certainly, as they went along. But they've been in a slump, undeniably, for almost the past decade. What do you say, guys?
Yeah, if it wasn't for Pixar, they would have totally gone under.
Well, I don't know about going under, but
not under with their theme parks, but just with
But the last 2D Disney animated movie was Home on the Range, right?
Ugh, yes, it was.
Yeah, I saw that too. Pretty horrible, right?
I never saw that one.
Yeah, it was just a mess story-wise. The songs were well written, but completely mismatched and out of place.
I thought it was boring, and I was really disappointed because I've been a big fan of Disney. Growing up too. I mean, I was a kid right in the Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. Mm. You know, peak
Lion King.
Yeah, that's probably Disney's more recent peak. Yeah, is when those movies were made, and they kind of went downhill after that. But this movie, Princess and the Frog, they're going back to their roots. I mean, this is drawn Disney style. It's drawn like I like to call it like Cinderella style, where the women are long and beautiful. The men are either handsome or frumpy and fat.
Are we talking Princess and the Frog?
Yeah, well, I'm just talking about the animation style. Like And the villains are tall and skinny.
I mean, it had a classical look to it.
Well, Family Guy recently did an episode where everyone was drawn like Disney. And this,
oh, I know and, that was
this,
so awesome.
And this, and the Princess in the Frog fit right into that category. Yeah. You know, with the big-eyed girl, and actually, she looked like Black Belle to me.
She totally did, and she was actually animated by Belle had two primary animators, James Baxter and Mark Henn, and Mark Henn has done most of the Disney princesses. Since then, except for I forgot his name, but it's the same guy that did Jasmine and a lot of Belle.
Yeah, so she looks like Belle. The prince looks like Prince Eric, but black, and the villain looks like Black Jafar.
The villain definitely.
I don't want to sound like anything that offensive, but that's basically what they look like. I mean, to me.
I kind of disagree about the villain. I thought the villain was. Really, to me, the villain was probably the best animation in the whole thing, and I just really thought that he had a personality and a character all his own in a way that I've never actually seen in a Disney movie.
But, I agree. I thought the villain was really good. In fact, I think this movie is really good. I mean, let's be honest. This movie was made so Disney could have a black princess for black little girls. I mean,
oh yeah, really. Even though they've already had two.
So they could sell dolls at Walmart.
Yeah, but in the end though, this movie does have a really fun story, and it's
very strange, but yeah,
I mean, I enjoyed it. You all liked it too, or?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really did. And again, like what Alex said at the very beginning of the podcast, is just that it brings like a warm and fuzzy feeling to your, you know,
just because we grew up with that kind of style, and especially because I don't really think that they should have ever gotten rid of the whole musical aspect in cartoons, because I think it adds like an operatic view to that you don't get to watch usually, you know, only if you go to see an opera, but like actually getting to see an animated movie where there's these moments of musicals is really cool for me.
Yeah, well, I would say that a while ago, Disney movies were the only time that were the only musicals left in the world. Now they're making musicals a lot. They're getting trendy again. But
I would definitely agree with what you said, Dominic, except that, I mean, it depends on if the story really calls for it. Because, I mean, say, for example, I mean, I don't know how any of you feel about the movie Atlantis, which actually had the real first Black Disney princess with Princess
Peeta.
I Peeta.
Remember liking that.
But that movie would have been terrible as a musical. So, I mean, I think it just depends on if the story calls for it. And I think what that is if it has, like, a magical element to it, which Princess and the Frog did, obviously.
Well, this was interesting because as far as musicals go, I remember there was always music in Disney movies, but somehow they segued away from like the characters actually singing.
Yeah,
songs.
That's because they
and
wanted
like Tarzan,
to
it was just like, oh, we'll get Phil Collins and he'll sing everything.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just more of a, you know.
Well, Disney was weird in those days, man, because Disney made a successful, you know, line of public domain Little Mermaid movies that, you know, were huge successes, and then they tried to like break away from it. They tried to make more adult animation, which I could appreciate. I wish there was more animated cartoons for adults like Japan
or original pieces or something.
Yeah, but Disney just didn't make good movies. I think, I don't think Atlantis was that good. I thought that movie was pretty boring, if I remember correctly.
I don't know. I think a lot of. Oh yeah, I did not.
Emperor's New Groove is funny, but it's not like
it was a vehicle
epic,
for
like,
David Spade.
No, it's not epic.
I mean, and Tarzan, they kind of, I don't know, Tarzan's not that good either. I like
Tarzan.
I think pretty much. I mean, I know BSJ is going to disagree with this, but I think Lion King may have been like Disney's last great movie.
It was like its last epic.
Yeah,
I wholeheartedly disagree, but that's whatever. Well, I didn't particularly
that's
care.
That's neither hearsay nor their side.
You know, like other ones, like you mentioned Hunchback of Notre Dame earlier. I mean, that movie, I mean, the animation's beautiful. I think the music's good in that, but the story's just lacking, and the goofiness kills it.
I agree with that. They should have taken out any goofy characters in that. It just seems like what Disney was doing at the time, and maybe this is a good thing that they took a break from it, because it seems like what they were doing is each movie was trying to take whatever the success was from the last movie and replicate that. And if the movie didn't do well, they're like, oh, well, I mean, like, okay, and I don't want to get into a huge debate with Alex over Pocahontas, but Pocahontas was not a huge success. So therefore, since Pocahontas was mostly dramatic, when Hunchback was being made and they were like, okay, well, then we need more goofiness in Hunchback of Notre Dame. Because originally, Hunchback was much more dramatic in the.
Well, yeah, and what you're talking about, BSJ, is pretty much like studio bullshit.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it happens with every movie, but
well, yeah,
but
Disney, especially, yeah.
Yeah, but Disney does that a lot. Like, the head of the company has, like, a lot of say of what's going on.
Oh,
what's really interesting is, especially working in LA at a movie theater, the one that I was working at was a prime location just to do screenings, and especially since movies are now into the, you know, 3D animation world, it's like, you know, you'll put a movie and screen it 10 times with different audiences, different ages, and they'll fine tune every piece of the story to make it, you know, appeal to the widest variety of an audience. So
I hate
it's
test
like,
audiences.
It's like the Obama way of making movies, trying to please everybody.
Yeah, and did you know that if they would have listened to test audiences with The Little Mermaid, they wouldn't have had the song Part of Your World in it?
Yeah, test audiences don't like that song.
Yeah, well, little kids were bored by it. So Jeffrey Katzenberg was about to...
Which section of the movie A Little Mermaid was that?
It's early on, when she's singing about that she wants to be part of the human world.
Where she's talking about our little gizmos and gadgets?
Yes, that song.
Okay.
Gadgets aplenty,
Oh, it's like the most 20. Classic song in the
but
movie.
But who cares? No big deal. I want
I don't know.
More.
I think Alex really enjoyed that as a kid.
I want to be where the people are. I used to sing that in the swimming pool with my sister. Yeah, I'm mad enough to admit it.
Okay. TMI. TMI
yeah,
there.
Thank you. No, but, I mean, yeah, this way of thinking, you know, with test audiences, and I'm not familiar with the test audience.
It's interesting. Like they get a demographic, and
I know
like,
the demographic.
Yeah.
Okay, well let's get into the movie though. I mean, we talked about why they made it and stuff. Let's talk about the actual movie. The movie was different than I thought. The trailer makes it look like we just have like a princess and the frog comes, but the twist is that she turns into the frog. But
that's about it.
Yeah, but in reality, she's not even a princess. She's just a girl in Louisiana, and she does turn into a frog, and then it becomes a big, crazy adventure of these frogs.
I was very surprised by it, because I went in there with no knowledge of what the setting was. I didn't know it was in Louisiana during that time period. I didn't know where the adventure was going to go. And the whole time, it was a new surprise. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, and as far as a Disney movie goes, I mean, it really wasn't about people. It was more like Brother Bear than a princess movie. I thought it was about frogs and swamp animals. I mean, mostly. I mean, that's what most of the movie was, which I wasn't expecting, but it worked. I thought it was hilarious most of it.
I found it a little episodic, but overall, I still thoroughly enjoyed it. I would still highly recommend it. But
well, what do you mean by episodic? Like, I had little.
Well, I mean, for example, they have the sequence where the three, you know, dumb hicks are trying to catch frogs for no reason, which goes absolutely nowhere. It wasn't even really there for character development. It was
just there to give it a little adventure.
This movie it kind of has like a Temple of Doom thing going, meaning that it's just one like mishap after another.
That's
like
what I mean by episodic.
But for this story, it worked. I mean,
it's kind of cool to just to see what's going on in the bayou, I guess.
and the whole time I was enjoying the movie, but there was one point I think about where the firefly singing about his girlfriend. That's the star in the sky that he thinks is his girlfriend. You know, with the alligator playing the trumpet. And I turned to Jay and I said, "This movie's freaking weird."
It is. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I appreciated about the movie. I really like the accents or the dialects that were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they seemed authentic for sure.
They seemed authentic, and you know, usually when movies do stuff like that, they always get nailed for like, oh, being too stereotypical and this. And I think it touched on stereotypes, but at the same time, it was like it was based in that time frame that it was.
Right.
And I guess people, you know, I can believe that people spoke like that. You know?
What was the time frame? Was that like
the 20s?
It was the 20s.
Yeah, it was when jazz hit, so it had to be 20s, 30s.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I could totally, you know, I mean, I think because it was in that time frame that Disney was able to get away with all those, you know, because like in Transformers, you had the two hick robots or whatever. And
those robots weren't hicks. Those robots were idiots.
Were idiots. Well, you know what I mean? They talked like, you know how they talk. And so.
They talked like degenerates.
Yeah. Well, the Firefly kind of talks like a. The character is
the Firefly was a lot like
a dumb
kind
of. The Firefly was basically like Mater of Cars.
Right.
Yeah, he was.
I didn't see it. But
I mean, I appreciate that.
I knowing that, well, it actually, for example, Jim Cummings, who did the voice of Ray the Firefly, he's a professional voiceover actor. That's how he makes his money. So I mean I don't know, I thought his accent was pretty authentic, and I was pretty.
I heard he makes his money off drugs.
Funny. I was pretty blown away more so by Keith David as the villain whose name I can't pronounce, Dr. Phil.
Well, he was the Shadow Man, that's what they called him.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. What's the actor's name, BSJ?
Keith David. He was also the voice of Goliath in Gargoyles back in.
Yeah, 1994. Yeah, yeah. He's excellent.
That was a good cartoon.
I like that cartoon.
I love
That's
that.
The cartoon that I want to make into like a live action movie someday.
It doesn't.
Do you want to make a live action Gargoyles movie?
I've always thought of it when even when I was in high school watching.
So what
do
you think?
Like, I'd love to make a movie out of this.
Are you thinking CGI Gargoyles? Or are you thinking like Hellboy makeup, or what do you think?
Probably a combination of Hellboy slash CGI.
Oh, here's a better idea. Why can't it just be hand drawn?
Hand drawn 2D.
I
want to
make a movie out of this.
Gargoyles movie.
And guess
yes.
Who I'm gonna play? What was the villain's name?
Goliath.
No, not Goliath. No,
Demona.
It started with a Z. Xanadu.
Xanatos.
Xanatos. Guess who I'm gonna have play that? The guy who actually played the voice, Jonathan Frakes.
Well, yeah, because they based his design.
Dude, I'm
going to
have
him
in the movie. It's going to be awesome.
Dude,
Jonathan Frakes was
Jonathan
Riker in Star Trek, if anybody did.
Jonathan Frakes is doughy now.
He's got a point.
Dude, I'll work his ass out.
Wow. All right, so anyway, I think that's enough about that. Pretty good show, though. So we saw a couple good movies this week.
Yep.
And we talked a little bit about animation with BSJ. Thanks for coming on, BSJ.
Thanks, BSJ.
For sure.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I mean, even though you're completely wrong about 3D animation not being called animation, I don't know what you're talking about there.
It's an opinion, Alex. You can't tell me my opinion's wrong.
Well, I can tell you that your opinion of the definition of animation is wrong, yes.
No, you can't. You can't tell me my opinion is wrong.
Yes, I can, because you can't say, like,
okay, hey.
The grass isn't green. My opinion is it's not green. It's wrong. Right?
Right, but we're not talking about facts.
But we're talking,
talking
yeah,
about
we are. Animation.
An
I'm going to look up animation right now. And I'll tell you what it means. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. Hold on out there, folks. This is what we call the climax.
Yeah, the internet's actually going.
The act of animating, a state of being animate or animated. The preparation of animated cartoons.
Okay, so what?
A motion picture that is made of a series of drawings or photographs of inanimate objects as puppets and that simulates movement by slight progressive changes in each frame.
And what about 3D animation is not that?
Look, it's just the fact that 3D computer animation loses its human touch. That
okay.
Is the complaint.
But it's still called 3D it's still called animation. It's not advanced puppetry.
You'll never hear me call it that. You can
call it animation.
I'm wrong.
Say Toy Story's animation right now.
Absolutely not.
Say it. Say toy.
No.
Say toy. Thanks very much for listening. Please visit indiemoviecast.com. We welcome comments, questions, and suggestions. So log in and contribute. And remember, we don't only talk the talk. To see the movies we've made, log on to ultimatumpictures.com. And if you're on Facebook, look us up and be our fan. Indie Movie Cast is 2009 Ultimatum Pictures. So long, guys.
Good night.
Yay.